50 years ago this week, on April 22, 1970, school children and teachers from kindergarten through college, families, and all kinds of clubs and organizations banded together throughout the United States to celebrate the first Earth Day, which was the brainchild of Wisconsin's own Gaylord Nelson. He said, the objective was to get a nationwide demonstration of concern for the environment so large that it would shake the political establishment out of its lethargy and finally force this issue permanently onto the national political agenda. Within 3 years, Congress passed the Environmental Policy Act, Endangered Species Act, Clean Air Act, and Clean Water Act. How very proud Gaylord Nelson must have been. Unfortunately, that Earth Day and its aftermath also shook many industries out of their lethargy, and some, including the Koch brothers, immediately started banding together to fight these laws. As a college freshman at the University of Illinois, I got involved with Earth Day, though I had no clue what it was really all about. Sure, I wanted to help bald eagles, osprey, peregrine falcons, and California condors, but I couldn't even imagine that anything like these birds could actually exist, at least not wild and free, in any place I could go to. These and other endangered creatures were what I thought of as zoo animals. Sadly, this Chicago girl had absolutely no sense of wildness beyond Chicago's forest preserves. There is no way I could possibly have imagined that there could exist a real live woodpecker that looked like the Woody woodpecker I'd seen on Saturday morning cartoons, much less that I would ever be able to live in a regular house in a regular neighborhood where this enormous and exotic woodpecker would come to visit. When I got my first field guide for Christmas in 1974, I immediately got fixated on the pileated woodpecker. I stared at the picture over and over during the following years and finally saw my first pileated woodpecker a full 6 years after the first Earth Day on June 5, 1976 at Hartwick Pines State Park in Michigan. Russ even managed to get a photo of the splendid bird, though it's pretty tricky to find it. Later that month, Russ had a meeting in Savannah, Georgia, and we came upon a noisy family of pileateds while we were picnicking in a Georgia state park. But pileateds were few and far between most of the time during my early years of birding. Russ and I moved to Peabody Street in 1981. The first couple of decades, they were only rarely seen in our backyard, but in the early aughts, they started being much more regular. Some years, one or a pair have appeared in my backyard virtually daily. But 2020 happens to be the first year in a while that I didn't see a single pileated on Peabody Street during all of January, February, and March. I didn't see a pileated woodpecker during April either until Monday, when a pair turned up out of the blue calling to each other and visiting a lot of our old trees. Even when they turn up daily, I cannot see or hear a pileated woodpecker without a deep and thrilling sense of satisfaction, a feeling of well-being down to my very core, something even more precious during a time when health and safety are so precarious. I may be spending my every minute on Peabody Street for the duration, but I'm hardly alone, not with my husband, son, daughter, and son-in-law, and my little dog Pip sheltering here too, and a grandchild coming this summer. The joys of backyard birding are a perfect icing on the splendid, if fragile, cake. Knowing how precarious life is and how precious this earth and its day-to-day treasures are raises my commitment to protecting them. 50 years after that first Earth Day, when I'm ever so much more aware and knowledgeable about wildlife and the environment and how important clean air and water are to my beloved family's existence, I'm feeling more committed than ever to protecting this beautiful and fragile Earth. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.